Okay, good afternoon, sir, and the Honorable Mr. David Neal will conduct your hearing. What's your name, sir?
My name is Joseph Correa.
Mr. Correa, if you can hold one moment before I turn it over to Mr. Neal, I need to try to make one phone call, and then,
yes,
then Mr. Neal will be conducting your hearing. Let me see if I can get through, sir.
Okay.
This is Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy. It is my understanding you wish to participate in the hearing of your husband this afternoon. Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, please hold on. The hearing is about to begin. The Honorable Mr. Neal will be conducting it, and he will call on you at the appropriate time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Trevino, do you wish to address the board today?
If possible, please. I have my own little statement. I just wanted you to know that.
Okay, well, I was asking your wife. Ma'am, do you,
yes.
Do you want to address the board? Okay.
Yes, I do.
When I get to the swearing in, I'll swear you in along with your husband and the Department of Protection officer, okay?
Okay.
All right, so. All right, sir, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
My name is Joseph Angel Correa. My number is 091826.
Thank you. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy this afternoon in reference to it says community service, TIS release, your community supervision application. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is Honorable Dale Rittenhouse, and the center is Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. My name is David Neal, I'll be the hearing lead. Also with us today in the room, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and we'll also represent the parole office today.
Prior to this hearing, sir,
you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir, that was like,
okay.
Yes, I was still in Alhambra, yes.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I didn't have enough time to hire an attorney, sir.
Okay, so you're going to represent yourself today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So at this time, I'm going to swear you. I'm going to swear in your right. Swear in. You and your wife and Mr. Turner. So all three of you, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, to tell the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm? Mr. Carrillo.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Carrillo.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner.
I do.
Okay, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. Phase one, we will determine whether the community supervision conditions of community supervision have been violated, and if they've been violated in phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So, for phase one, and normally we look to see if there's a police report number on list on the warrant. There is one listed here, but because one of the allegations involves a class 4 felony, I'm going to give you three options. I'm going to read the allegations, then I'll give you the option of saying whether it's true, whether it's false, or whether you want to plead the Fifth Amendment, okay?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Okay, so allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 14H as demonstrated by your removing of your assigned GPS device on March 4, 2019 at 2:35 p.m. You were made aware that it was a class 4 felony to interfere with, bypass, and or remove your GPS electronic monitoring device in violation of Arizona Revised Statute 13-3725 on or about March 4, 2019 in Maricopa County, Arizona. And I believe the March 4 date was when you were given your terms of, or even given terms of supervision and they had to sign the paperwork. Is it, so is that true, or that false, or is you would like to plead the fifth, sir?
That is true.
Okay. Allegation number two, then, is a violation of Airway Commissioner Supervision Number 2 demonstrated by your receiving of your assigned GPS device on March 4, 2019 at 2:35 p.m. and making yourself unavailable for contact. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you are absconding from supervision. Is that in true, false, or you're speaking fifth, sir?
That is true as well.
All right, so based on your admissions of Mr. Carrillo, I am going to move to find that he was as a violated terms and conditions of the supervision, and that he may have lapsed or without lapse of equipment raise or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, so we'll be moving into phase two in a moment, but before we move, Mr. Carrillo is going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone, and I'll be right back with you, okay? Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Carrillo was released from ABC custody on 12-15-2018 and arrested on 3-13-2019 by Mesa PD. No new charges are noted. He's returned back to ABC custody on 3-13-2019 with an adjusted CSED of 12-24-2021 with 9 abscond days. Current conviction, 1997, murder, second degree, 21 years. Prior convictions, 1990, commitment A, count 4, theft, 5 years. 1990, commitment B, count 1, theft, 4 years. 1995, resisting arrest, 1 year. 1996, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. This is his third term in ABC with a CUIR score of 4-4. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 1. He is a suspected member of the STG, New Mexican Mafia of Arizona. Prior terms of supervision, 1995, TR release, absconded for 4 months, 14 days, arrested, administratively revoked. 1996, TR release, absconded for 2 months, 11 days, arrested, administratively revoked. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, weapons, conspiracy, rioting, drugs, and intoxicants noted. Other arrest, 1988, indecent exposure, Arizona felony conviction probation. He has a GB score of G6V8.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to phase two now. We're going to have a summary of the case supervision. So you were released on December 15, 2018, and approved to reside at 332 East Linwood Lane in Mesa, Arizona, number 3. Is that where your wife was living?
No, I was living with my sister. I was residing with my sister.
Okay, sister, okay. And did you stay there until you were absconded?
There was some stuff going on that it was out of my hands, and my sister ended up moving because I asked her to move because there was certain stuff from prison that was following me.
Okay, so you didn't stay there at that address?
No, I stayed there. I did my parole there. I stayed there from 10 at night to 5 in the morning. I slept in my truck because I was scared that my sister was going to get caught up in something.
Okay. Did you have any employment going on?
I have medical. I was getting Social Security.
Okay. And so for programming, it says you were assigned a task, and you had a positive for meth on January 14, 2019, and another one on February 22, 2019. So why did you relapse, sir?
Can I read this statement if possible?
What's that?
I have a statement that I wrote.
Okay, so right at this point in time, I'm just asking you why you relapsed.
Okay. I was trying to stay awake.
Trying to stay awake?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's get down to the main issue of the war allegations. I guess the easiest way to say it, the allegation is that you removed your GPS device on the 4th, and then from that point you went yourself, you weren't available, you didn't contact your PO, and that was the 9 days that you were missing. And of course, because the GPS device signal would have been taken off, they immediately issued a warrant. Why did you take the GPS off?
I've never seen the internet. I was in prison down there my whole life. I got on Facebook and there was people looking for me, and I was being told they were following me and tracking me through that thing.
Did you think that maybe you should mention that to your PO?
I was trying to, but instead what I did was told my sister to move. And I still have my nieces and my nephews were still living there, and I didn't know what to do, so I used drugs to stay awake. Because I figured if they came, they would get me instead. So if you look at my record,
the question was, didn't you think you should contact your PO about people maybe following you, find out if that was possible, that they would be tracking you with that GPS?
Yeah. I probably should have did that. But the problem was my mentality was 21 years in prison. I looked at him as, I never seen him. He came one time a month, and that's the only time I ever seen this person.
Okay, but don't you know what a telephone bill is for?
Yeah, I did call him on a couple of different instances where I asked him if he could help me find groups and stuff like that, which he never even...
Did you mention to him that you thought your enemies were tracking you through that GPS device? Did you ever mention that to him?
I never did for one reason, though.
And what like that one? What was that one reason?
If he locked me up, there was still people coming from my family.
But why would he lock you up if he suspected something? All you're gonna do is ask him if these people could track you that way. Because you know that GPS signal is not the tracking device is not set up so anybody and everybody can follow it. But you could have brought that up to your PO, but you didn't do that. You took the GPS off and you signed your conditions of release. But you certainly understood that if you did that, it's a class 4 felony, you get no prison time for it.
The reason why I didn't ask him was because I told my sister to move. If I talked to him, he would have found out that my sister didn't get there no more. That's why I did.
I'm sorry, I just absolutely can't wrap my mind around your explanation. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No. Okay, there are no more questions at this time from the board members, so I'm going to ask your wife if she'd like to make a statement at this time. Okay, ma'am?
Yes.
Would you like to address the board?
Yes, I would.
Please state your name and then you can address the board.
Okay, my name is Crystal Renee Lutton.
Okay.
Now can I speak?
Yes.
Okay. I know he's been in there for a while and he did, you know, test the bracelet, whatever that might have been. But I am currently located in Wisconsin and was in the process of moving back to Arizona so he would have a safe place to be. We've had many conversations about everything, and I just don't feel like, you know, the process of him being in there is going to change anything. But also, you know, I understand there are laws, but I just feel like, you know, if there's any way he can just come out and I will seek counseling for him or anything that he needs to help him get through this process. And you gotta remember, he was locked down for 21 years. And for a person to come out, I understand he should have called a probation officer and went that route, but he just felt like he couldn't trust nobody. And in that meantime, he was in contact with me, and we were trying to, you know, figure something out for him. I don't know how this all works, like if he's going to be released or not, but I mean, if he is released, I mean, I am willing to sit there and give him counseling and whatever else he needs. He does have a medical condition too that needs to be, you know, addressed and everything else.
Okay, we do understand that, as far as, you know, seeking help, whether it be counseling or from the PA or anything, he's the final authority. In other words, it's up to him to want to do it. So, you know, you can find it and you can say, here it is, but if he doesn't want to do it, but they're taking that GPS device off as an extremely serious offense for inmates come out of prison. And there are a lot of inmates come out of prison and they have GPS trackers put on them, and very few of them take them off. And there are a lot of people that get put out there and they're put into areas where there are people looking for them. And they don't take the GPS off, they either, you know, give permission to move somewhere else or they talk to the PO about it.
Yeah, I understand that.
But I'm not going to ask him, because this is a public record, I'm not going to ask him to specify who's after him and why. And in my own mind, I have a feeling that I know, at least the fact that it might be happening. But, a lot of this is up to him, and I understand. So you weren't hearing very many of this. You were just in contact with him?
Yes, I'm actually, I was out in Wisconsin. I came up here to help my mom with her surgery, and I'm actually in the process right now of moving back to Arizona. I do have an address if he was to be able to be released to my father, but he lives in Coolidge. I don't know how that would work out as far as, you know, him getting over there to Coolidge. I would set up transportation and whatnot. Until I get there, and I will already have an apartment and everything for us, so he can be out there and do right and not be around these people.
Okay. Well, thank you, ma'am. Let me see if there's any questions. Sir, wait. Okay, would you remain silent like I asked you? Okay, thank you. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions for me, ma'am. There are no questions, so. You stay right there on the phone and listen to the whole conversation, and we'll advise you when it's all over with it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Carrillo, we're nearing the end of your hearing, but before the board goes into discussion to make a determination, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to make a final statement. So if you have a statement that you wrote, now would be the time to read it, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir. In 2008, I started reading the Bible. I was really not prepared to change that powerful group would have on something like myself. As I'm sure you can see, being incarcerated was not new to me. I accepted it as life. I took it to the Bible to change my view that my acceptance of this life is okay. I understand it is not okay. I like so many, was brainwashed into believing it was okay. So in 2008, I made a very drastic decision. I wrote a letter, which is in my files, that Department of Corrections, I didn't show you that. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Okay. It took a very big leap of faith because my actions were meant to be long-lasting. There were only 145-pound men all alone. It was done by myself 10 years ago. I thought it was a good issue. I was very wrong. When I got out, my niece started me a Facebook page. I noticed one thing or two things very fast. I was not prepared for the Facebook. It was really weird to me. Number two, there was somebody coming after me because of that letter itself. Yes, I did a lot of bad things. There's a lot of good things I did out there in the 2 months I was out there. My mother was a RN for over 40 years. She took me to hospitals because of my medical conditions that I had. Yes, cutting the thing off of myself was a bad thing, but I didn't know what else to do. If I called my parole officer would have came and seen my sister didn't live there, and I was scared because the apartment complex we lived in, my nieces also live in that apartment complexes too. If you look at my file, the last 30 years I've ever had was in 2003. I stopped drugs and all this many years ago. I haven't had write-ups in over 10 years. Not only that, the special conditions on the conditions of supervised release that I did sign, it says in Burlington GPS. They put me on GPS on a STG that was never in my file. It was an accident. I should have never been on GPS. It had nothing to do with my parole, which is what Mr. Hayes told me. The GPS was always meant for STG. I am not STG and I am not SMI. That's what it's for. I'm asking the parole board to please don't give up on me. Many people in this whole system have given up on me. Those groups, cognitive thinking, scared straight, all of these groups that I created 5 years before my release, I've been trying my hardest to prepare for this because I do not want to come back. Even if you guys don't get me out today, that's okay. I'm not a bitter person anymore. I'm not right now. I've met my beautiful wife right there. My life is very good. If those people didn't come looking for me, I would have never been what I did. I'm very sorry for doing what I did. I tried my hardest to prepare for this, but how can I prepare for somebody coming after me? 10 years ago, I stepped away from everything. I tried my hardest. All of these groups and everything, the problem with prison is there was no groups in here that get you ready for release. I just want to say thank you guys for doing anything you guys can. Even if you keep me in here, that's okay. But just know this, I am not that person anymore. You can look at my file, the Department of Correction guy right is right there. He's going to read to you and tell you that I am not STG. He said suspect. This form is specifically for validating. I am not a validating member. The file right there will show you that I did write a letter to them people and told them I want nothing to do with them no more. I am very sorry for doing what I did. I'm willing to pay money and I'm willing to do the time for what I did. I was just scared. I took my nephew to the store and that's where they mentioned they were going to get me. I didn't know what to do. My thoughts were just prison thoughts. I need help preparing myself to get out of prison. But listen, I didn't know what else to do. Thank you very much for your time and for work.
Okay, sir, I do have a question. Did you go through the step-down program?
No, I did not.
Okay. One other question. When you were released, did you come before this board to get released, or was it just the time because of the amount of time you served?
No, I did flat time. I did day for day. I was sent to 21 years flat.
Okay.
This is my sixth expiration date.
Okay. One thing you might keep in mind that GPS devices are also used for people that committed very violent crimes. So there's many reasons that you could have been assigned a GPS other than STG.
Okay.
Or even, you know, sex offenders also have that happen to them. Okay, sir, the board will be going into a discussion at this time. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. But we ask you to remain silent, stay on the phone, but remain silent. You can hear the whole conversation. And once we're done and make a determination, I'll be back with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, more in my discussion. Well, this is it's an unfortunate situation for sure. If I set aside everything involved with the GPS and just look at the rest of the scanning days and the use of drugs, I'm probably feel the same way, but with the GPS device being cut off, there's really no excuse for that. And Mr. Cooper's explanation, I'm not doubting that he may have felt like somebody's trying to find him, and if he was getting information that the GPS was waiting that the gangs or whoever was after him or trafficking, I believe he might have been told that. I believe that he wouldn't understand that that's not the way it works. But what I can find by is the fact that he didn't consult with his parole officer about the situation, try to get something resolved without raising the law. And to take the GPS off Angus Dyer, I do not see him as a candidate to be returned to the community at this time. But I want to see the discussion from my fellow board members. So based on all the information on warrant number 2019W0636, Mr. Carrillo's testimony and information from Department of Corrections, I'm moving to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Carrillo as he was open, violating terms and conditions of supervision in the headlines, which was about to lapse into criminal ways or companies, specifically cutting off the GPS device and use of drugs.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, so the board is voting to revoke your community supervision release at this time. Did you hear the discussion of why we did that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I understand it's tough coming out of prison after a long period of incarceration, but we do see it a lot. People go out, they go on home rest, they have to be more responsible and legal about what they do, and they're successful with it. But they work with their POs. So we do receive that a lot, but I would suggest that you talk to your CO3 and see if you can maybe get a mental health evaluation, because I don't doubt that being in prison that long can cause you anxiety issues and things like that, but make yourself a good strong plan. Hopefully your wife will be able to move back in the area and you can figure out a safe place to go, but the association with the STDs can cause problems for years. So this is your hearing, sir. Would you put the CO3 back on the phone, please?
He's not here. I'm just in a room by myself.
He's
not here.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, sir. So we're just going to hang up, and we'll find you at the appropriate time, sir.
I love you, Joey.
Okay. I love you, too, Mama. Bye.